A strange thing started to happen about a month ago. I started receiving alerts from a variety of services that I use online with updated privacy policies. In light of recent information security breaches, I wasn't as alarmed as I should have been. Unfortunately, data breaches are a common part of our online existence. However, these notifications kept coming, and they started getting more specific, and I started to notice four letters.
Haha, not the four letters you think.
GDPR. And as a blog and podcast owner and someone who has a mail subscription list, which you should totally sign up for, I started getting even more notices. And then a funny thing happened. Certain aspects of GDPR showed up in my actual day job. And then I stepped back and said, I need to get my head around what GDPR is, why am I getting these alerts, why am I talking about it at work, and what can I do to ensure that I am not somehow violating the General Data Protection Regulation of Europe. So if you've been getting these notices, or if you run a blog, or a mail distribution list, or a large multinational corporation, you might want to pay attention to this episode. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 119. So what is the General Data Protection Regulation, and why should you be concerned about it? CNBC.com had an excellent article, Everything You Need to Know About a New EU Data Law That Could Shake Up Big US Tech, and that's by Arjun Karpal. So the GDPR is a piece of legislation that was approved by European authorities in April of 2016, and they are giving companies until May 25th of 2018 to become compliant. So you have a few weeks. The EU essentially wants to give consumers control of their personal data, especially as it's controlled by companies and corporations. Most likely, if you're listening to this podcast, you are based in the United States. Although I welcome international listeners, I use Google Analytics, which is how I know about this particular regulation, which we'll get to later in this podcast. But let's say, on paper, the EU wants to protect its citizens, and they want to make sure that they're not being monitored or their information is being put to improper use. One of the major policies of the GDPR is consent. If you want to collect your readers' or consumers' data, they have to give you explicit consent to do so. It cannot be confusing or vague. Companies can't sneak this consent language into a user agreement or something else. It has to be expressly given. Consumers must also be able to withdraw consent. Another major policy is the protection of minors. For children under 16, person holding parental responsibility must opt in into data collection on the minor's behalf. Another major point is that in situations like Equifax, where there is a major breach, it is mandatory for companies to notify a data protection authority about the breach within 72 hours of it happening, or the company became aware of it. Which I have to say, in light of Equifax, I am 100% in agreement with. The CNBC article makes a point to say that big organizations were given 2 years to prepare. However, as a consumer, as a publisher in the United States, I feel like I have just been made aware over the last month and a half. And the way this regulation information has been shared for publishers and also for consumers in the United States has not been good. Even after researching this podcast, there are still some shaky areas that I'm confused about. For instance, on the Sourcecast blog or any of my personal sites, I do not sell anything. I do not offer a product or service. Users either read my blogs or listen to my podcast with no advertising and absolutely free of any cost. I have recently instituted a mail list, which you can opt into, but I don't sell that information or use it to sell you anything. I just like to understand who's actually going to my site and listening to my podcast, because the metrics are very hard to get. So based on all of my research, if you are a blogger or podcaster in a similar situation, in theory, you are not impacted by GDPR rules. But I'm still not left with warm and fuzzies and feeling like I'm covered. I also happen to use Google Analytics, mostly because I wanted to learn how to use the platform a few years ago. So in some of the articles that I've read, if I use Google or any other third-party application on my blog or podcast, or any of the technology that I use, that also happens to be collecting data in a way that violates GDPR, I could theoretically be liable. And considering that information, I feel like I've been given a very short window to ensure that I am in compliance. So what is the type of data that GDPR is trying to protect? Basic identity information such as name, address, and ID numbers. Web data such as locations, IP address, cookie data, RFID tags, health and genetic data, biometric data, racial or ethnic data, political opinions, sexual orientation. The GDPR is taking a much wider view of what constitutes personal identification information. It's a combustible mixture when you classify an individual IP address as personal identification information, especially when you are factoring in plugins and other third-party apps that may be on your blog or a podcasting app or something that you are associated with in your online presence that you don't have 100% control over. And I'm going to go back to Google Analytics. As a blog owner, Google Analytics sent me a notification, a very vague notification stating that there may be changes as a result of the GDPR. So I guess they're covering their bases by sending out an alert, but I'm telling you, the communication was awful. It was very unclear that if you made the suggested changes, if you were covered. The alert they flashed on the top of the page that stated that this could be a potential problem for you if you were collecting data, even after I made the suggested change, the banner remained at the top even though it said it would disappear if you made the change. Google's major suggestion is that you change the data retention period from whatever they had it previously set to 14 months, which I did on every web property that I own. But I'm still left wondering, was that enough? Especially considering that Google Analytics expressly tracks who is visiting my site from different countries, specific towns, times, how long they're on my site, etc., etc. So what happens if you are in violation of GDPR? One, there could be monetary penalties of up to 20 million euros or 4% of worldwide revenue if your organization is not in compliance. Anyone with a web presence, individual or corporation, is subjected to GDPR even if you don't have a physical presence in the EU. If you provide goods or services to an EU citizen, you are impacted. As I mentioned before, the definition of personal data is expanded and clarified to include IP addresses, cookie identifiers, and GPS locations. Explicit content and transparency is required. This means that inactivity and pre-check boxes are not considered consent. And finally, EU citizens have the right to be forgotten, and personal data must be erased upon request. BlastAm.com is giving you 5 steps to help you prepare for this change. Number 1, audit your data for personally identified information, PII. And remember that IP addresses are now considered PII under these rules. In Google Analytics, make sure you turn on IP anonymization. Number 3, audit your collection of pseudonym identifiers, hashed emails, user IDs, etc. Number 4, update your privacy policy. We're going to get to that in a second. And number 5, build an opt-in, opt-out capability. If your website does not have a privacy policy, now would likely be a good time to write one. I know that I'll be doing one shortly. And if you're asking yourself, what should a privacy policy include? Consider including the following information. What information is being collected on your website? Who is collecting it? How is it being collected? Why is it being collected? How will it be used? Who will it be shared with? What will be the effect of this on the individuals concerned? And finally, is the intended use likely to cause individuals to object or complain? A personal area of concern for me is my newsletter. About a month ago, I turned on an opt-in on my blog that people can sign up for this newsletter. I use MailChimp because every podcast that's been published in the last 5 years has had a MailChimp advertisement, and I wanted to check it out. According to XOMISS.com, XOMISSE.com, individuals' data should not be added to a different mailing list, and they should not be sent information without having explicitly agreed in advance. If you are importing your mailing list to another platform, like Facebook, to promote or target for advertising, then you need to explicitly ask for consent in advance. You also need to tell people about their right to withdraw consent and be forgotten, offering them easy ways to do this. In your newsletter, make sure that the option to unsubscribe is visible. In another article from Nomi Paloni, NOMIPALONY.com, and this is specifically for bloggers, and I quote, "It applies to you if you process personal information and are processing it as part of an enterprise. Article 4-18 defines enterprise as a natural or legal person engaged in an economic activity irrespective of its legal form, including partnerships or associations regularly engaged in an economic activity. So basically, it seems that if you aren't making any money through your blog, you are okay. And so we're clear, Joey isn't making any money on his blog or podcast. Speaking of which, this episode is brought to you by Lombardi Prime, Fine Butchers in South Philadelphia. I'm kidding. This episode wasn't brought to you by Lombardi Prime, but it is a real place, and you should go there if you are in South Philadelphia if you are looking for an excellent butcher. Say hi to Cousin Vinny for me. At the beginning of this podcast, I agreed with some of the notions of the General Data Protection Regulation, especially when it comes to notifying consumers about a breach within 72 hours. However, in my coverage of the European Union over the last year, especially with their attacks on Google and the fines that they have levied against Google, I do not view them as an inherently trustworthy organization. They can clearly be bought and manipulated to benefit other organizations, like Oracle. And there's a part of me that wonders if these rules will be used and abused to stifle bloggers and people reporting news that European governments are not fans of. I can see these rules easily being weaponized to shut people down. And while I do believe that it's designed to protect consumers and to provide privacy, I also believe that someone, somehow, at some time, will use the GDPR to shut down a blogger that's inconvenient to them. It's so far-reaching. It's so broad when it could have easily been implemented in phases and specifically target larger corporations who have the resources to address these things early and are most likely the biggest offenders. I also find it appalling that Google, who has had numerous issues with the European Union over the last 3 years, would not be further ahead on their attempts to mitigate these issues for their consumers of, again, Google Analytics and who knows what else. I suspect some of this is just sheer American ignorance, considering that this ruling happened 2 years ago, and most of us are finding out, again, in the last 2 months, that we actually have to do something to mitigate potential data collection. For my own personal sanity and potential legal issues, I will continue to follow this story. I'm going to continue to drill down and understand the General Data Protection Regulation and ensure that this blog and podcast remain compliant. And I can assure you, the second that I find out about the European Union abusing or bullying smaller corporations and individuals with these rules, I will be calling that out. Stay safe out there, bloggers.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.